I've called this message, "Tis the Season to Be Reminded." You know, in other words, that with Christmas being here, like I've said this before, like I love everything about this season. I love the lights, the decorations, the music. I love the, you know, the gift buying, gift giving. I love the gift receiving. I mean, I love all of that. You know, it's just one of those things. It's just my, you know, it's just, there's, I like it. Even in my hard season, I liked it, but it's one of those things that, you know, it's just such a time to be reminded of how historical that moment was. That moment when, you know, we don't know the exact day, the exact time of when the Messiah, the Son of God, was born into the earth, but we use this season to celebrate it and remember it and recognize it. And so I'm going to look, give you just three things here for just a few minutes that it reminds us of. And so the first thing can be found in Matthew chapter 1. If you want to follow along with me in Scripture, you're welcome to. If you're just learning your way around the Bible, Matthew, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament, and Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. He was a follower of Jesus, and so he would write these things either as an eyewitness himself or from eyewitnesses. And so in Matthew chapter 1, we'll look at verse 18. It says this: "This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, let me just say this, and I say this every year, and I'm going to keep saying it, that Joseph is one of my favorite individuals mentioned in this account. Because I think about him, that he was a guy that was engaged. He was engaged to be married and found out that his fiance was pregnant, and he knew that the baby wasn't his. So he immediately went out and posted all over Facebook so he could share with everybody how wronged he had been. Well, Pastor, they didn't have Facebook back then. You're right, back then they only stoned you if you did something like this. Sometimes that seems more appreciative than what's put on Facebook. But this is what he did. It says this about him, that Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. It's not a mystery why God would have this man raise his son who came into the world so that we could have forgiveness. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So one of the things that Christmas, it's a season to remember this, that God's plan is to be in our life. That his plan from the beginning was that whenever man had sinned and for the first time Adam and Eve felt like they did not belong in the presence of God and distanced themselves from God and hid themselves from his presence, that God, even when they were hiding from God, he wasn't hiding from them. And so Christmas is a reminder that God's desire is to be with you, to be part of your life, not in a religious experience, but in a relational one, where he walks in your life and he's a part of that. Now, you know, we have to respond to his presence, respond to him wanting to be a part of that, but he's not watching from a distance. He hasn't turned his back on you. He wants to be part of your world. And I wrote this down, that there are two pictures of your life: what it looks like when God is leading it and what it looks like when you're leading it. The two pictures of my life: what it looks like when God's leading it and what it looks like when I'm leading. Can I be real transparent with you? I've had both seasons. I've walked through seasons of my life where I'm clearly in charge, I'm clearly leading it, and the evidence and the fruit of it is obvious who's in control. And there's been other seasons whenever I'm letting him lead it, and the fruit and evidence of it is obvious who's in control. Now let me just say this. It doesn't mean that we don't go through hard places. It doesn't mean that we don't have hardship or hard times. But even what those things look like whenever he's leading us through that storm, through that thing, it's apparent. And so, you know, we want to be a story-changing place. And so the reality of it is that when you came through these doors, that I know during Christmas, there's so many reasons why people can be here. Some people are Christians. This is your church. This is kind of a regular thing that you do. Maybe for you, you're from out of town and you go to church back home. And so you're just here with your family. Maybe, you know, church is not your thing. You're not even sure what you believe about God or what you believe about Jesus. Let me tell you this. I'm still glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. And sometimes when you come through the doors of a church, some people don't come in because they're afraid it's going to be a reminder of all the things that they've done. But let's just acknowledge this. All of us have our stuff. All of us may not have, you know, our broken places may not be public. But somewhere in our past is this picture of when I lived part of my life or I was going through a season and some of that, I decided I was going to lead it instead of letting God lead it. And had you been able to see it, it would have been obvious who was in charge. But not just in the moments when you're wanting to surrender to him, but when even in the moments where you're not even sure he exists, he wants to be part of your life. And Christmas is a reminder of that because it says this, God loved the world so much, the world so much, the world, everyone in it so much, that he gave his only begotten son. This season is a reminder. So number one is this, God's plan is to be in our life. The second thing is in Luke 1, it's two books over. There's Matthew, then Mark, then Luke. Luke was a Jesus follower. And he interviewed eyewitnesses to get these accounts. And so in verse 42, Mary goes to Elizabeth, who she was related to. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist, and she was pregnant with John the Baptist around the same time that Mary became pregnant with Jesus. And so it says in verse 42, it says, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? This is still Elizabeth talking. When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You were blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. So that's Elizabeth talking. So honored, Mary, to see you. You're the mother of my Lord. The baby in me leapt whenever he heard your voice. And you're blessed because you believe God. But then Mary pointed out something else, and she said this. Mary responded, oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Now, the reality of it is that in any room like this, that most of us are people that can live our lives and sometimes be in a crowded world and feel not seen. I know that for a handful of people, that's not their story, that because of your gift or because of your looks or your resources or whatever, people automatically recognize you and know who you are. But for so many of us, we've lived seasons of our life where we felt invisible. And it's easy to think that that's even God's mind of us, that yeah, he may love them, but, you know, does he even see me? And I love Mary's response when Elizabeth said, I'm just grateful that you believed him. And she said before, you know, what she was really saying is before I ever believed him, he noticed me. And so this is the season to remember that God notices us. I remember years ago, I was working at this place and I loved it. I loved the vision of it. They were good to me and that kind of thing. And there would be days that I would go in early and a lot of times volunteer time and sometimes there'd be openings that would take place and I would think, man, that really fits me. And there was another guy who was a good friend of mine, but let's say if hours were from 8 to 4:30, he would show up at 7:59:59. And he would clock out at 4:30:01. And so I'm showing up at like 7 and I'm staying till 5:30 or 6 and volunteering my time. And so that job would open up and I would think that fits me perfectly. And I would never get a conversation. And I remember that particular job, they gave it to him and I loved him. He was a good guy, but I felt unnoticed. I'm sure you've been there, right? Where you feel invisible. That even when the good things you do aren't seen, the times that you make sacrifices or commitments, maybe even for your family, aren't seen. But the truth of the matter is that Christmas is a reminder that he sees you. You're noticed. And I don't say that because he's like, oh yeah, I'm watching you. No. He sees you. I remember Ishmael's mother, you know, she said, he's the God that sees me. And so in this right here, that Christmas is a reminder, this season is a reminder that God notices us. Lastly, Luke 2, the next chapter over, it says this, that night there were shepherds, verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding the flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. This is such an incredible account of what took place. And there's so much in here. You know, I remember as a kid, I went to church, and that may not be your story. It's okay. Mine was, I was brought up in church, and I was in that church that every year we did the Christmas program. And every year you had shepherd and wise men, and you know, you'd put on like your dad's bathrobe, and so your mom would hook some towel to your head, and you'd borrow a cane or something like that. Anybody else ever get to play a shepherd or a wise man or anything like that? Anybody play a donkey? And I mean, so, well, you know, what's, so, you know, any of those things that, you know, so that was kind of my story. Now, I will tell you, you know, the reality of it is that some people didn't know this, but actually the shepherd and wise men didn't show up at the same time. The wise men were like maybe a couple of years later. But there's so many things in this that, because we don't understand culture, that just such a message that it sends. You know, for one thing, shepherds were not considered, you know, necessarily like, you know, the higher class of society. Matter of fact, a lot of times they were looked down upon. And so you have that. And then also there's some thought, you know, not really 100% sure, but these may have been shepherds that were unique in the fact that they were caring for, you know, one of the sheep that they cared for was the one that would be offered up that year by the high priest. And so, you know, which that may be true, may be accurate. We're not 100% sure about that. But we know this, that if you were going to write an account of an eyewitness and you wanted to make sure, you didn't want to do anything that might discredit your story, you wouldn't use shepherds to be part of that story unless you were telling the truth. And so in this, they talk about these guys that were not in a religious setting, not religious people by nature. They were out working in these fields, taking care of this, and the angels of God appeared to them and gave them this great message. And in giving them this message, they went and saw the baby. And they were so impacted by being in Jesus' presence, even as a baby, that they left that place and began to tell the story of what that encounter with God's Son was like. Here's the third thing. Christmas is a reminder. When you think about these shepherds that may not have been invited to a lot of places, Christmas is a reminder that all are invited. All are invited. The upcast and the outcast. Those that are in and those that aren't. Those that feel welcomed in certain circles and those that feel like they're uninvited. All are invited. And again, if you came here today, if I could leave you with anything, no matter what your story is up to this point, that God's plan is that he wants to be in your life. He wants to be with you. He's noticed you. Even if you didn't believe in him, he's seen you and cares about you. And he invites you into that place with him. There's so many things about this encounter that we hear it so often, that we just take it for granted, that we lose sight of what all of this means. But it's so significant about what it says about God's love for you and his plan for humanity, for any that will accept his invitation. And some people reject his invitation. And even though he loves them, then he won't force himself into their life. But all are invited. I wrote this several years ago, and I like to share it every Christmas season. And it says this, you know, when you think about it, it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, he came to save, rescue humanity. He shows up as a baby, born in a stable, placed in a manger. What could be more approachable? Everyone is welcome in a stable. Who feels unqualified or unworthy to be around a manger? Who feels inferior around a baby? If his purpose was to be an answer to everyone, it wouldn't make sense for him to show up as a conquering king and born in a secluded palace. That in itself would have communicated restricted, secluded. But this says all, everyone, whosoever. This says Emmanuel, God with us. Also to be revealed to shepherds and wise men, both ends of the social and economic spectrum, saying everyone needs him, regardless of where you are in life. This event, which seems to fly in the face of convention, actually makes sense in the light of his mission. With that being said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And because of this, I say, Merry Christmas.